AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Corn, soybean, and wheat futures all closed higher and built upside momentum on the price charts. Back-to-back gains are hard to ignore there. Live cattle futures struggled today, but feeder cattle worked higher on supply concerns. Lean hog futures stayed on the rally train for a third consecutive session.
Live from a rich tapestry of spring blooms via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we chat with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much. You know what else? There's some pollen being shed out there in the timbers of Iowa. Okay. I can guarantee that. And if I sound a little rough,
yeah,
that might be the reason why.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought you were out brawling and got punched in the nose or something.
Well, no.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not this
no.
time.
Huh? Well, and not for like 40 years.
It's been a while, has it?
It's been a while since
you
got to
keep your
like
dukes
that.
Up, buddy.
Oh, no. I tend to walk away from that.
As
tend
do
to
I.
walk away.
Cooler heads and whatnot. So it's it's the sinus and it's the pollen.
The pollen
has assaulted
pollen.
You.
Okay. That's what I'm going with. That's
okay.
What I'm going to go with.
Fair enough.
All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to have a great conversation with Naomi Bloom from TFM by Stuart Peterson coming up here in just a little bit. Matt Bennett coming up as well. 65 degrees. The wind showed up. And I guess no surprise.
Yeah.
But the wind did show up, and it's blowing out there. And we're going to have a good-looking Wednesday and Thursday before we get into some more storms on Friday around here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Going to slow planting progress, perhaps, or maybe not necessarily?
I think it is a concern, and it's becoming a concern.
Mm-hmm.
That the rain and if the forecast does materialize, that it could put a bit of a delay into some of the corn and soybean plantings out there. So, but as of right now, we're ahead of schedule and off we're running.
We're in fine shape. Absolutely.
That's right.
You bet.
That's right. All right, let's get to the news.
Chip, the rally in wheat continued with another open near the low of the day and a close near the high of the day. July hard red winter wheat futures closed at the highest level since February 2nd. The next level of resistance in July HRW was at the January 25 high of 636 and a quarter. July SRW futures had some catching up to do after yesterday's rally and led the way to the upside today. July SRW closed above $6 for the first time since February 12. USDA crop condition ratings as of April 21 put 50% of the winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition. That's down 5 points, Chip, from the previous week. Mm-hmm. All of the deterioration was reported in hard red winter wheat crop areas. USDA also says 15% of the spring wheat crop was planted as of April 21st. That's 5 points ahead of the five-year average pace. July HRW wheat futures were 11¾ cents higher at 614¼. July SRW wheat up 15¼ to 602¾. July spring wheat closed at 672¼. That's up 9½ on the day.
Lack of rain in HRW country is becoming very apparent in some of those fields, and the market is paying attention to it. There's no question about it.
Corn planting as of April 21st stood at 12% complete, 2 points ahead of the five-year average. The weather forecast calls for some delays in corn planting into the first week of May, which provided some support for corn prices today. But much of the price strength was based on short covering and spillover support from the solid gains in wheat. July corn futures opened slightly lower but climbed back on top of the pivotal 450 level, and the contract posted the highest close since March 28. Traders also continue to assess late-season damage to the Argentine corn crop and are watching for signs of increased demand for U.S. corn in the export market. May corn futures were 3¼ cents higher today at 443. July corn up 2¾ cents, 4.52½. December corn futures closed at 4.74¾. That's up 2¼ cents.
Yeah, we can lose some of those Argentine corn bushels down there, but unless it turns into more demand for U.S. corn in the export market, the impact is going to be relatively light.
July soybean futures posted a third consecutive higher close, but the contract remains inside the borders of last week's trading range. USDA says 12% of the U.S. bean crop was planted as of April 21st, 2 points ahead of the five-year average pace. The forecast calling for more rain in the Midwest and a wetter-than-normal pattern into the first week of May is raising some concern about potential bean planting delays. May beans were 6.5 cents higher today at 11.67½. July beans up 5.5, 11.82. November beans closed at 11.74. Chip, that's up 2¼ cents on the day.
Yeah, they're starting to pay attention. As I mentioned in corn, they're starting to pay attention to what's going on with the planting pace and the weather forecast, but it's not a huge concern at this point.
Well, July cotton today was 70 points lower at 81.72. Over on your livestocks, June fat cattle were 90 cents lower at 177.15. October futures were down 57½ cents to 179.37½. May feeder futures 87½ cents higher on the day at 246.05.
Wow.
And on the snout side, June lean hog futures opened on session lows, rallied through resistance at the April 11 high of 106.67½, and closed above 107.50 for the first time since April 9. Resistance is at the April 9 close of 108.57½. Today, May hogs were $1.87½ higher at 98.57½. June hogs, $2.45 higher, 107.95, Chip.
Yeah, 245 higher in those June hogs. It's an impressive move that we've got off of last week's low already, and it's just 3 days old. So hopefully we can get some more going there. Thanks, buddy. Let's bring in Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, bud. How are you?
And doing real fine. Give me an update on planting progress. What are you getting done?
You know, last week we were able to get some corn and beans planted. That big system came through Illinois on Friday. And in all honesty, we were fairly lucky. I think we ended up with, maybe a half an inch. You know, but it came quickly. But regardless, it was pretty dry. Not as dry as some other folks. But then this week, you know, we were able to get started again yesterday, plant a little bit here today. We've got a little shower moving in right now. So just kind of depend on what we see, because this weekend some of these forecasts look kind of scary to me, but yeah, we're between a third and a half done right now with everything.
Okay, well, you're making good progress
for sure
there. So how do you like the price rallies or gains that we've seen in the grains? Do you trust them?
I don't know how much I trust them. I think in the short run I could still see some more up here, you know. Okay. The thing to me, Chip, is that you came into this time of year with just this massive fund short, you know, and typically going in the growing season, they like to be a little more nimble than that, able to react, you know, to some sort of a weather event. And boy, I don't know. I've got to think that you could see a little bit more upside here. I don't think that it's going to be anything long-winded, but it could be a really good opportunity for producers that have been sitting around frustrated for the last couple, 3 months. So my right. personal opinion is, you know, you get these corn up in this 490 area, then a person needs to be paying pretty close attention.
Well, yeah, especially on 23 crop, finish up your old crop stuff, but get caught up or get to where you're comfortable on 24 crop. And I saw chatter today about thinking about 25 crop sales. So a lot going on out there right now, isn't there?
Absolutely. I have no issue with that. And last thing I'll say, out in your neck of the woods and out west where basis is really good, tack a rally on good basis, reward it. You know what?
Absolutely.
Way better than what it was a couple months ago.
That's right. That's right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you, man.
Yep, absolutely. Have a good one,
man. All right, be safe. That's Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Naomi Bloom, TFM by Stuart Peterson, next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Got the breeze blowing out there. Maybe we should call it a wind blowing out there, but for the most part, it's a pretty enjoyable day, 65 degrees. Maybe some guys are getting back out in the field. Let's have a conversation about the markets and what to expect and what to do about it with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Naomi, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Oh, Chip, I'm good, and it is good to be talking with you today. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. You know, I didn't have you on during the end of basketball season just simply because I thought maybe too much cyclone power would be too much for people to handle.
We would probably have an abundance of excitement indeed. And yeah, it's always good. Those cyclones, always good.
Yep. And here we go. You know, we've got a little ways to go before we get to football season, but I think the anticipation and the excitement is already starting to grow.
Absolutely. Spring camps, all of that. I'm ready to roll.
Yep. No doubt. Well, I'm glad you're here. Let's talk a little bit about this corn market. We've got 3 days up now, 3 days with a low range open, a high range close. It feels like there's been a breakout to the upside in the market, but in reality, overhead resistance isn't all that far away, is it?
Exactly right. And so looking at July corn futures today, it was a bonus that we were able to have 2 days of closing above the 40 and 50 day moving average. It was a bonus that we closed above 450 today. But I get a little bit cautious right now just because of what's coming up on the calendar this week. We have May options expiring on Friday. And we're heading into first notice day for May futures next week. And a lot of times in years where there is bigger carryout, you have a tendency to see market prices, futures prices for the May contract, for the July contract, slide a little bit lower into option expiration and into first notice day. So while I'm liking this market and these charts, we're not totally over the hurdle to make me feel like this is a spring price low. I'm still a little bit cautious, but it does get me excited for what's to come. You know, as Matt was saying earlier, you got to be aware of how short the funds are in this market.
Right.
If we can find some news, you know, we'll get that seasonal rally that can occur, but I'm not totally convinced that this is necessarily it.
Is it a timing issue or is it the makeup of the market that's got you most uncertain?
Well, it's a little bit timing with these option expirations. It's seasonal because when you look at a July seasonal chart or a December seasonal chart for corn futures, they still usually are showing choppy sideways trading ranges until about the second week of May. And then you'll start to see the market work higher into the summer rally. So between that and seasonals and just, you know, the fundamentals are still a little bit negative leaning with 2 billion bushel carryout. And it's a little early to talk planting delay, even though we're going to be seeing rain over the Midwest, just because, you know, the market knows and the world knows the American farmer can get a third of the crop planted in a week if you have an open stretch. So I don't think the market gets too hyped up about planting delay unless it's past Mother's Day and we're not 50% planted, then I think the market's concerned. But again, so it's, yeah, seasonals, it's technicals, it's a lack of fresh bullish news to just get this market to spur higher. So again, I'm a little cautious right now.
You know, it feels like we are right on the edge of getting some bullish headlines from the export market. And what I'm doing is I'm looking at the situation down in Argentina, excuse me, the situation in Argentina with the way that that crop is finishing poorly, and some demand that has shown up for U.S. corn, right?
Yes, yes. We had wonderful export inspections this week, so we are moving product out of the country. When you look at export sales, export inspections, we are ahead of USDA projections. And you're right, you know, that Argentina crop starting to not be perfect. We're not hearing too much out of the Brazil crop, so that makes me think that things are okay. But what'll really get me excited is if we see maybe strong weekly export sales Thursday morning this week, that would be good. And then looking at the May USDA report, we need to see if the USDA adjusts exports, because they have not touched exports since December. So 2.1 billion bushels for export, which is great. But the market might be curious to see, is that number going to get stronger or not? So we're going to keep an eye on exports again Thursday this week for weekly export sales. And then in the next week, along with watching the Brazil markets too.
Yeah. Yeah, and watching Brazilian weather, right? The way that Safrina corn crop's going to be coming along.
Yeah, and so now correct me if I'm wrong, but what I have heard is that they've had some rain recently, but now things are looking to dry out. So the question would be if the recent rains are enough to keep the crop, comfortable and growing and productive over the next couple weeks or not. So we know that in America, if it gets a half inch of rain, suddenly we can have a record crop. Sarcasm. So we'll see what, comes from Brazil in the coming weeks.
Right, right. And it's at that critical time. The crop is, as I understand it, the Safrina corn crop, a chunk of it is pollinating. It's going to be getting into early kernel fill and rain right now. If it happens, Naomi, it's going to be really, really positive for that crop. But if they don't get the rain, then things can turn around here over the next 10 days. It's kind of crunch time for that Safrina corn crop down there, and we need to pay close attention to it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so export sales report on Thursday. You mentioned that, and I understand what you're looking for there. Before that, we get the ethanol production report tomorrow, and after the stink of a report that we got last week, I would like to see a little improvement there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So that'll be something that the market watches. And that comes out, mid-morning, tomorrow morning. And that could be some short-term market reaction. If it is if it's poor news and if crude oil prices aren't working higher, maybe we see some back and fill action on the corn market, and still maintain the sideways pattern that we've been in essentially since early March. But maybe prices just kind of meander back down about 10-15 cents lower and test support levels. So this has been a little bit of a blessing, though, for those who needed to do price or roll with their May basis contracts. If you were deciding that you were going to be pricing it, you've got May corn futures up near 443. This is essentially the highest it's been since late March, and overall the highest it's been since late January. So an opportunity for those who needed to get some cash sales done.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Matt was just mentioned, just came right out and said, listen, if we get a rally based on some planning delays, it might be an opportunity to get a little more comfortable on 23 crop, 24 crop, and don't forget about 25 crop. Let's stay on 23 crop. How much of a wet blanket are farmer-owned supplies of old crop corn, Naomi?
I was just thinking about that today, because I know that a lot of producers have been selling recently to generate cash.
Yeah.
But there are definitely some who are saying, well, if I don't have to generate cash, am I better off just waiting until some kind of a June rally or like a late May rally? And so, part of me is like, well, usually we get something and there's some kind of a summer rally at some point. But then my other thought is, that summer rally is going to come and all y'all are going to freeze up and not know what to do and not price it, or you're going to get sidetracked, or the market rallies and it rallies for 2 days and then you miss it and then don't do anything. So my biggest vocal concern would be for those who are waiting for a different summer rally, please have realistic targets in place. Now, with your elevator, For example, if July corn futures can get back up towards the 490 area, which would be getting back towards the high from late December, that would be a place to make sure you're making some sales, because depending on your basis, you might be getting close to $5. And again, with 2 billion bushel carryout, fundamentally, we don't really have a reason to justify why prices need to go above $5 based on everything we know right now. So if you have those cash orders and those cash targets in place, it'll help you stay in control of your marketing, be disciplined about pulling the trigger, and not be emotional later on in June when we're looking at, you know, 100 degree temperatures coming and you're not, you know, thinking that, hey, my crop isn't going to grow. You got to take advantage of those opportunities when they come, because they are so fast and quick and they go away so fast and quick as well.
Yep. Be there before the market gets there. That's kind of has been my motto on when we talk about things like this. Get your price orders in place. Make sure that your sales orders are ready to roll, so that when you're out planting corn or worrying about planting corn, you don't also have to worry about catching a move in the old crop corn market. We're going to talk a little bit more about new crop corn marketing. And what about some 25 crop? I saw chatter about that today. What does Naomi think about it? We'll discuss next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where July HRW wheat futures were 11¾ cents higher at 614¼. July SRW wheat up 15¼ to 602¾. May corn futures were 3¼ cents higher at 443. December corn futures closed at 474¾. That's up 2¼ cents on the day. May soybean futures 6½ cents higher today, 1167¼. November beans closed at 1174. That's up 2¼ cents today. July cotton 70 points lower, 8172. On your livestocks, June fat cattle ended 90 cents lower at 177.15. May feeder futures 87½ higher at 246.05. June lean hog futures $2.45 higher at 107.95. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. What one of the business networks, Fox, has been doing stories about coffee and the cost of coffee all day. Okay. And all the different things that you're, you know, willing to pay for. And a couple of them have come back to the idea that it's just caffeine that, you know, that's the reason that people are willing to pay $5-6 a cup two-three times a day is so that they can get their caffeine fix. You can get your caffeine fix off a really crappy cup of coffee.
You know what? I got a Summit Cola Diet right in front of me. This is what it's called. That's what I'm drinking it for.
There you go.
Just keep me perky through the show, you know?
Yeah. You know, a buck or maybe a buck and a quarter will get you the caffeine that you need. The people that are spending $5-6 on a cup of coffee, and I know that I'm probably, way under market for a lot of people out there when it comes to what they're spending on coffee. But, it comes down to a question of just exactly what they want. What is it that they want? And what do some of them think that they need in order to get that shot of caffeine?
And what are they willing to pay for?
What are people willing to pay for?
What are they willing to pay for? That's what they want.
Yep. I think we had that conversation this morning a couple of times. Yes, we did. Let's get back to the conversation with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Naomi, we talked about 23 crop getting caught up on corn there. 24 crop, it's got to be mostly the same kind of story, right? Make sure that you've got your orders in place.
Yes, absolutely. My target's on the Dease 24 corn crop, right up near the $5 area. I'd go $4.99, but I am mindful of that gap that's at $5.03. The top of the downtrend line comes in right near that $4.95 area, and the 200-day moving average is at $4.97. So in general, $5 is going to be significant resistance for the December 24 corn to get through. For prices to go above that, it would take a weather disaster in this country during the summer.
Right. Okay. And 25 crop, it's flirting around the $5 area already out there in the Dease 25. Is it too early to be looking at 25 crop?
Not too early. I am a fan of getting sales in place on a rally. So again, actually similar near that $5 area, the Dease 25 chart has a gap. The gap is filled if we get to 504. I'm quite mindful looking back at history when we came off of our two-year rally in 2012. The market, edged lower for a couple of years after that and then went into that sideways trading pattern. And the charts are pretty identical. So my fear, my concern would be, that we start to go into a pit of despair for prices over the next 5 years. So if we can get some $5 sales on the 24 and on the 25 crop, I think that will merit quite well for people's revenue going forward.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's talk about soybeans. And for the past couple of years, we've been talking about the domestication of the bean market, where there's going to be a bigger focus on soybean crush than there is on soybean exports. It seems to be developing, and I'm not too sure if the market and the money that plays in the market likes that. What are your thoughts?
What do you mean likes that? Tell me more.
They look at the export numbers, and they're disappointed by it, and it's a bigger disappointment than what a positive crush number is, even though it's the biggest all-time crush number we've ever seen for any month ever.
Yeah. So the muted exports are stealing the thunder from the positive crush. You're totally right. And just the fact that Brazil crop is big, but there still is that discrepancy. What is the Brazil crop? What isn't it? Just because CONAB, the Brazilian essentially equivalent of a USDA, is so different than the USDA. But at the end of the day, Brazil still has the ability to produce more. And right now they are China's favored child. So China continues to do most of their business with them. But the thing with China, they need to buy from the United States because they need to secure beans from both hemispheres. So we do have that going for us. But it's just, we're lacking fresh bullish news. I'm wondering if the USDA, once they start printing the 24-25 crop year on reports, if they'll even show potentially stronger crush demand. That would really be helpful for the marketplace, but we need some news. So looking at November prices, what I'm targeting there for folks who wanted to get cash sales in place with their grain elevator, there's a little gap on the chart that's filled if we can get up to 1244 half on the November. And then the top of the downtrend line from the two-year downtrend line kind of comes in near the 1275 area. So between that 1245 to 1275 area, I would be more of an aggressive seller. Again, unless there's some kind of a weather issue in the United States this summer, we might have a little bit more of a cautious tone in the short term until we get a better handle on where our crush demand is going to be going forward.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else that we need to hit on beans, or can we jump over to wheat? Because it's trying to be a leader. I want to get there.
Yeah, we can jump to wheat. Okay. Wheat is just a rock star, huh? boy, yeah, that's a market. Well, you know, and it's one of those things, is it getting ready to jump off the stage and then just like do, you know, a soft landing into the crowd, or is it going to just belly flop onto the floor? That's the question. That's the question. So we got up to the 100-day moving average today on daily charts, and that was really encouraging. But anytime I get excited about wheat, I'm just sucker punched and prices fall back lower. So, you know, it's been exciting and it's been optimistic, but I'm not sure if I totally buy it yet. But, you know, I did talk to a client in Kansas yesterday, and this echoes on what you said earlier in the show. And he's in that super, super dry part of Kansas. And he said folks are already starting to turn in insurance claims because it's just so dry and so bad. So that the market has, I think, become aware of that. And that is why we've seen that Kansas wheat market have a significant rally over the past couple sessions, along with our Chicago wheat market. But I'm feeling like something negative will happen and my hopes will be dashed and wheat will be down 30 cents by the end of the week or something, but we'll see. Maybe we finally got some legs under us.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got the tour coming up here before too long. And every time I think about the HRW crop and the Wheat Quality Council annual tour through HRW area, the scouts can go out there and can confirm what the market has been fearing, okay, when it comes to the condition of the crop. And for some reason, the market just doesn't show a whole lot of reaction to crop problems here in the U.S. right now, Naomi. I mean, is a crop problem enough, or do we need to get some demand with it?
Well, it's got to be a crop problem here, some new demand, and something bad has to happen somewhere else in the world.
Yeah.
The world has just gotten used to that notion that wheat is available year-round from little nooks and crannies all over the world. So unless two or three countries start to have a development production issue, wheat may struggle to rally. And the funds just still seem to can be content to kind of hold on to those short positions. Last week, we saw that cumulative managed money short positions across all three wheat classes was just over 170,000 contracts, which was the largest since late December. So it's like the funds had been exiting shorts, and then they decided to push the sell button and make things go back down. But now the question will be, over the past couple days here, are they actually exiting shorts for real, or is this going to be a sucker punch and we end up back lower by the end of the week?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Good questions and things that we need to get figured out here. But boy, it's showing some leadership right now, and it's leading in the right direction. So I think everybody's going to be happy with that. Real quick, let's jump over to the other markets and get your thoughts on cattle. Friday's cattle on feed report turned out to be a little bit more positive than maybe the initial reaction.
Yeah, that was good numbers in terms of lower placements. So that was good for the market. So we're back to being aware that we are low on production overall in this country. The bird flu fear seems to be behind us for now. So that's good news. Now I think that the attention will shift to consumer demand. So I feel like lower cuts of beef are going to still be super popular. I think that you can't, you know, substitute hamburger by any means. But my curiosity going forward would be, are we going to see strong export sales this week on Thursday? Are we going to see strong demand for higher cuts of meat this summer for grilling season? That's where my curiosity truly lies. But overall, it feels like we've put in a short-term low after that sell-off we've had. But I'll be curious to see if we can see that market get back up to the early March highs or not. We need some real fresh demand news to get that to happen. But I do know, like, for feeder cattle, the feeder cattle cash market continues to be on fire. Down in Missouri, demand is strong down there at that Joplin Stockyard. Things are good. And I liked how live cattle filled the gap today, a little back and fill action. So maybe we can just build some more demand base here and price base and probably see prices go sideways to a little higher in the short term. But again, we're watching demand news for price direction.
Gotcha. I'm going to give you about 20 seconds on this. What are you thinking in milk?
Well, it was nice. We had a production report that showed milk production down 1%. So that is supportive for dairy prices. And we saw spot cheese values jump this week. So things are looking up for the dairy complex. That's
excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. Appreciate you. You be safe and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Davis, we'll be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip has stepped away. He's got a thing. I'm kind of giving him the jump here. I'm taking over for him. But it comes at a convenient time. There's some stuff I want to talk to y'all about. Something interesting that I've noticed here in the fertilizers and fuels. Let's get to that in just a moment. First, a great conversation with Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. She's always so good. Just one thing that I wanted to point out there. It's not crazy talk to start talking about the 25 crop. In fact, when we're talking about the 24 crop, we're looking at gaps, apparently just above $5. In both the 24 and the 25 December corn contracts. I'm talking out of school here. I'm just going by what she said. I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds right. I'm just going to say it again. If Chip were here, it may come up in our conversation at some point. Be there before the market gets there. Have realistic price targets in place and get yourself some sleep at night. Huh? And maybe start thinking about that 25 December corn contract. What do we got going out there? Have a look. Let's get our thoughts together on that. On another note here, coffee futures. Chip and I were talking about the cost of coffee at certain upscale coffee dispensaries. And yeah, it's a little expensive. Can confirm. It's nice for a little treat every once in a while. But I do like my generic diet colas for about 42 cents a can. To me, that makes a little bit more economic sense. But that's a choice that I'm making. Some people, hey, you know, what is affordable? Whatever you want to spend your money on, I guess. If you can make that work, you know, I may have to cut back on something. I don't know what it would be in order to get more Starbucks. I hadn't thought about that. Anyway, coffee down. The July contract, $5.80 to $221.85 on the day. Might not do much for the retail values, but just our conversation apparently had some impact on the coffee market at large. Under some pretty decent pressure, I would call it moderate pressure, on the coffee coming into this afternoon. Okay, the reason I'm so glad to be here with you all, I found something. Now, every 2 weeks, USDA puts out fertilizer prices. It's like they give it an average and a range for Illinois, and they do the same report again in Iowa. Something interesting has changed. It used to be, okay, so it's like they've got different categories here, different columns. The price range, $7.25 to $8.35. The average price, $7.67, $86. And then there's a column there that says change. And it used to say, oh, okay, well, anhydrous is up $10.52 on the week, or whatever the change might be over that two-week period since their previous report. They're not putting the changes in anymore. It's a blank column. They've updated the numbers as far as prices go. But guess what? I figured out a way to figure out those changes. Yeah. It's not rocket science, but it's close. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read down these prices so you have kind of some reference, and then we're going to talk averages and degrees of change because there is some news in the fertilizer. So I'm in Iowa. USDA in its most recent report as of April 19, so just last week, a few days ago, anhydrous ammonia in Iowa, $767.86 per short ton. DAP, diammonium phosphate, $785. We're going to talk about that being a little bit overpriced, actually quite a bit overpriced in a minute here. Liquid nitrogen, 32%, that's UAN, $394.17. Your MAP, monoammonium phosphate, $861.80 for a ton of that in Iowa. Red potash, $562.29 per ton. Urea, $580 even per short ton in the state of Iowa as of USDA's most recent report. Number two, farm diesel, Ruby Red, averages $3.22 in Iowa. Propane, man, this is crazy too on the propane. We're unchanged for like 2 months at $1.61. I don't know what's going on with the propanes there. If we hop over to Illinois, anhydrous ammonia in its most recent report found to be $795.88. Here we go with DAP, $761.22 in Illinois, 28% UAN, $384.50. UAN 32% at 345. Those are flipped. I think we'll probably see 32% firm to fix that. Anyway, MAP 792.17. Potash 521.75. And your urea rounds out the fertilizer space at 539.60. Number two, farm diesel in Illinois, $3.46 per gallon on average. And they're also putting biodiesel in here, which is interesting. I don't know what that is. $3.28 a gallon on the biodiesel from the farm. But guess what? I went ahead and took those numbers and made an average out of them. So we can see by degree how much these fertilizer prices have moved over the last 2 weeks. I've got anhydrous ammonia now at a Midwest average of $781.85. That's up $20.55 over 2 weeks. DAP up 92 cents over the period. MAP up $17.06 since USDA's most previous report. Here I've got potash up $5.52. UAN 28% was unchanged on the week, 32% actually down, $27.09 per short ton since USDA's most recent report, and it kind of threw the UAN price ratios out of whack just a little bit. Urea up $1.66, up $1.66 to call it $560 in the Midwest. Ruby Red averages $334, and there's LP at $1.61. I don't know why they wouldn't put in the price changes. Maybe it was an oversight. Maybe there's an email that I missed. I don't read the emails. I don't know. I would probably have a much better grasp of what's going on. Here's an email that I did read from Josh Linville. And Josh, don't worry. I'm not going to give away StoneX's secrets. But India has cut their purchase tonnage in half. That's urea. Also on the urea front, Chinese exports of urea are returning, as are Chinese exports of phosphate, which is great because phosphate needs a little bit of a supply overhang to push those prices down. We're still watching the Israel-Iran conflict and, of course, the Russia-Ukraine conflict. But for North America, Josh Linville of StoneX says urea markets are looking good. I like the sound of that. Okay, let's go to the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This valid through April 29 to May 3rd. Is that right? Yep, updated the 23rd. It's going to be hot in the southeast. Above average temperatures expected basically from eastern Idaho over to Florida. Through the gut slot, the midpoint of the Corn Belt, we've got above precipitation expected. Now, looking out just a little bit further to the 8 to 14 day, similar type of deal. Those warmer temperatures move further westward, so moreover, right over Kansas City, actually. And then the 8 to 14 day precipitation outlook, it's a mixed bag, dry east, wet west, and wet-ish down the middle. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson. Thanks so much for tuning in to AgriTalk today. We appreciate each and every one of y'all. We'll be back tomorrow morning with Chip Flory. We got big stuff planned.